middle age. Okay, but for the time being, we are doers. We like to do things. How many of you like, just as a general rule, you like to stay busy? In other words, when downtime sometimes bothers you, you like to stay busy. Okay. All right, a good number of hands. I like to stay busy. To me, when you stay busy, it makes the restful times all the more enjoyable, right? And we're doers. We are doers by nature, and that's a part of life. But another part of life is certainly relationships. In fact, relationships are a huge part of life. And no, I'm not just talking about, you know, boyfriend-girlfriend relationships. Those of you who were really interested and excited about a message on boyfriend-girlfriend, you can settle down. We're not going to go there, okay? But I'm talking about relationships. What kind of relationships? Relationships are everywhere in your life and mine, okay? The parent-child relationship, okay? The brother-sister or sister-sister sibling relationship. Okay, as you get a little older, yes, it will become boyfriend and girlfriend and husband and wife at some point when you're 40. Okay, that will take place. All right, you have relationships all around you. You have your teacher-student relationship. Relationships are such a big part of your life. And let me say this, when your relationships are healthy, there are a lot of wonderful things that come with that. Okay? When you have healthy relationships in your life, let me say that one of the results of that, one of the results of having healthy relationships would be a greater degree of joy. When relationships are working well, and sometimes we tend to think of this more in relation to a friend relationship. Yeah, my best friend, let me tell you, they add a great level of joy to my life. But really, I mean, if you think about it, if you have a great relationship with your mom, if your mom has a great relationship with you, if you have a great relationship with your parents and they have a great relationship with you, that avails you to much joy in your life. And that goes for any relationship that may be a part of your life. Well, what else? Well, not only could we say that a healthy relationship, the results of a healthy relationship are greater joy, we could say but that you are socially fulfilled. See, the Lord created us to be social. Okay, now whether you realize it or not, and some of you would say, Brother Scott, I don't care if I'm in my room and nobody talks to me. Okay, well, just wait. Okay, that could change. All right, because the Lord created us to be social individuals. And there are some people who are unsocial or maybe lack a social network in their lives, and those people, we would say, are lonely people. That's a reality. There are lonely people. There may be some lonely people in this room that you say, Brother Scott, you know, I look to the relationships in my life, and there's some struggle points there, and I find that sometimes I am socially unfulfilled. Well, social fulfillment is a result of having healthy relationships. What else? Greater joy, social fulfillment. I would say biblically sharpened. Okay, God has put relationships in your life to sharpen and to grow you. Okay, and that goes for me as well. The relationship that I have with Pastor Pittman is important in my life. Okay, I could say that he is a mentor to me. There are places that he has been. There are lessons that he has learned that I need as a part of my growth in my life. That's a sharpening effect, and that's a sign of healthy relationships. The relationship that you have with your parents is a tool in the hand of God to sharpen you. It's just a fruit or a result of healthy relationships. But what else? What else? Greater joy, socially fulfilled, biblically sharpened. And I would say this, it provides a lesser degree of stress. You know, if you ask the average person on the street, do you have a high level of stress in your life? Most of them would probably say yes. In fact, if I ask you tonight, would you consider yourself to be stressed 3/4 of the time? Many of you would say, yeah, I'm so busy. I'm like doing this. I have this demand. I have that demand. But let me tell you, when we have healthy relationships in our lives and a part of us, it brings a lesser degree of stress in our lives. I mean, think about that. Think about when your relationships, whether it's sibling, parent-child, teacher, student, when you've had rough spots in your relationships, has that added more stress to your life? It has mine, for sure. And so yet we see that relationships are a huge part of our life. And when we have healthy relationships, we have great results that accompany with that. But I would say this on the flip side, when our relationships are fractured, they're broken, or they're struggling, we find ourselves in an unhealthy place. The Lord Jesus, of course, is well aware of this reality, as it often is in our lives, and he gave us a truth that helps us navigate these challenges that many times enter the relationships that make up our world. Let me give you the words that he spoke in Matthew chapter 6 and verse 14. You don't have to go there. They're just a few words, but I want to notice what he says. He says this in regards to helping and assisting and pointing us to having healthy relationships. He gives these words. He says, Matthew 6, 14, "Forgive men their trespasses." Jesus knows you. Boy, he knows me. And he knows that forgiveness is a must when we have relationships. I want to give you some thoughts tonight based on this topic, the truth about forgiveness. The truth about forgiveness. Let's pray. Lord, I confess tonight, Lord, that this topic is bigger than the time that we have. And yet, Lord, I pray that we would be able to navigate down through this outline in a timely fashion, Lord, pausing only to emphasize those things that you would want. Lord, there's not a person in this room tonight who has not had at some point in time a fractured point in their relationship. Lord, there could be people in the room tonight that would say, I look to the relationships that my life is made up of, and I see that there are some struggle points. And Lord, I pray that for every heart in here, that we would see the importance of adding forgiveness to our lives and to our relationships. Lord, help us as we study this important point tonight. In your name we pray. Amen. Point number one there, as you have it, I want us to see that, answer this question, what makes forgiveness necessary? What makes forgiveness necessary? There you can see the blanks there. And if you consider the verse in which we read, or I read, Matthew 6, 14, "Forgive men their trespasses." So before we talk about forgiveness directly and what that has to do with, let's talk about for a second what happens to get us to that point. And it has to do with this idea of a trespass that Jesus said. Now, what is a trespass exactly? Well, it has to do of a picture of two people who were walking together. If you can consider two people walking in unison, one accord, together, moving in a certain direction. And then it's the transgression picture here is someone who missteps. Okay? Someone, for whatever reason, now they are out of sync, right? Out of sync with the person they were walking with. Okay, this happens in our relationships from time to time. And so what is a trespass? It's a misstep that consists of what? It can consist of an unintentional error or a willful offense. And I want you to get this thought here because it's so important. So many times we have the mindset of, well, you know what? If I'm going to forgive that person, certain criteria need to happen. Okay, but the Lord Jesus is telling us as a blanket statement, when there is a misstep or there is a point when they have unintentionally or intentionally hurt you, no matter what the case is, the rule is we ought to forgive men their trespasses. So what makes forgiveness necessary? Well, let's talk about that. Now, as we get into this, when you talk about an unintentional error, let me give you an example that happened recently in my life. We were sitting down to the dinner table one night, and when you have a 14-month-old child, yeah, 14-year-old as well, okay, 14-month-old child, dinner time can be a little bit stressful. Felicity likes to eat, okay, much like the Devane men in the family. She has gotten that appetite maybe from us, but at any rate, she enjoys food. And when she wants food, she wants it like now, Okay? And so you've got the baby there. When she finishes her cut-up bananas or whatever she's eating, her beans, I don't know. You know, it's all there on the plate. When she finishes, she's ready for the next thing. Okay? And so sometimes that just makes things a little hectic. You know, sometimes we're laughing at the baby. Sometimes, you know, she's doing other things and we're trying to, you know, not let her see that it's hilarious. But just all things that happen with a 14-month-old. And as we're sitting there at the dinner table, we're eating and enjoying our meal, and somehow the conversation came up about whether or not all the food had been brought to the table for the meal. And so I was talking to Miss Christina, and we were talking about something that was still in the oven. And so unintentionally here, what I was thinking was, is the food that's still in the oven for this meal, okay, or is it for a later meal? Because that sometimes she cooks ahead and that sort of thing, okay. But what came out was, well, are you going to bring it to the table, okay? Almost like I'm like, hey, come feed me, right? Where is it, woman? Let's go, right? I mean, that's how that statement was interpreted. Again, my intent was, are we having this food tonight? Okay, not like, hey, let's go, okay? But I realized as soon as those words left my mouth that it did not have the desired effect. And so I realized that I needed to fix the problem, which I did. We're still good? We're still good. Okay. All right, listen, it does not matter whether I wanted to insult her or not. I did unintentionally. Forgive men their trespasses. Now, on the other hand, sometimes we do things intentionally, right? I mean, sometimes we know the hurt that it could cause, and that makes us feel good somehow, and so we just let it go. I mean, what if, an example, Josiah tonight, you know, just for whatever reason, you know, just said, Brother Scott, I have an announcement. I say, all right, Josiah, you know, what is it you wanted to say? And he stood up and he said, Brother Scott, you ugly. Okay. All right, now I wouldn't disagree with Josiah, but I would be very hurt. Okay, I'd be very hurt. All right. That is a intentional offense here, all right? And listen, we fall on both sides of this, all right, in regards to a trespass. And the Lord Jesus tells us that that's something that we ought to forgive, whether it was meant or it was unintended altogether. That's how we get at this thing of forgiveness, because there is an offense. Let's talk about this for a second. The Bible is a book about relationships. It really is. In fact, when you read the book of Genesis, and that's where we're going to be starting, I want you to view it through the lens of all the relationships that are found in the book of Genesis. And we can draw from those, but let me just give you a few things here. The Bible's a book about relationships, and let me give you some examples of offenses that ruined relationships, because offenses do. Whether it was intended or unintended, offenses, trespasses, missteps, if you will, do in fact bring congestion to relationships. Something stolen. So I'm going to give you an example of something stolen in the Bible that brought a disruption to a relationship. Something stolen in the Bible. Yes. Yeah, in fact, whenever I think of Jacob and Esau, I think about something stolen. Okay? Now, how many of you, if your brother would have stolen your birthright or inheritance or your father's blessing, would have taken issue with it? How many of you would have? Okay? How many of you would have been hurt very deeply had that happened? Because not only, okay, I see that hand, thank you. Because not only was it somebody that, you know, took something that was rightfully yours, but the other layer is the fact that it was my own flesh and blood, right? Boy, that was a situation, something stolen, that created an offense that needed to be forgiven. Hurt that comes indirectly. Think about this. Have you ever been hurt, not by somebody who deliberately hurt you, but hurt somebody close to you? Have you ever had that experience before? I think about Absalom and Amnon and Tamar in the Bible, right? Absalom was furious at Amnon's actions towards his sister Tamar. He's furious, and he killed Amnon because of it, I mean, here's a situation that was not directed towards Absalom specifically, and yet there's an offense here that needs forgiveness. What else? A hurt that comes from embarrassment. Remember when David's wife, Michal, comes out and sees David coming into the city, and in her mind, he's making a fool of himself. Okay, he's jumping up and down. He's praising the Lord. She sees him from the window and says, "What is David doing? Boy, this is embarrassing. I can't believe, wow, he's king and he's acting this way." And what happens? Well, she confronts him about it. And you know what? There was no forgiveness there. But this was a situation in which David embarrassed her, and that happens to us as well. I mean, somebody embarrassed you before. Josiah would embarrass me if you stood up and said I was ugly. Okay? And yet, those are things, trespasses, if you will, that still should be forgiven. Hurt that comes from embarrassment. We could say hurt that comes from being made fun of. It's always an interesting story when Elisha is out moving about the country, and these kids come out and they make fun of his bald head. You're laughing. I mean, it's an interesting passage of Scripture. And somebody tell me what happens when that took place. Yes. Yeah, wouldn't you like it that whenever somebody offended you, all of a sudden these bears just came running into the building these people didn't have time to ask for forgiveness, okay? But yet, it's another example of an offense that was given that needed to be forgiven. Listen, the writer of Ephesians is writing from a jail cell. He was in prison for most of his latter days because of false accusations. You know, there are offenses that are created sometimes in our own lives, or hurt that is given to us, trespasses that run deep and that bring hurt to our lives, but are yet offenses that need to be forgiven. The Bible is a book about relationships. But what made forgiveness difficult in these situations? That's the second thing that you have there. What made forgiveness difficult in these biblical examples? And not to say that forgiveness is ever easy. Okay, there may be some people in the room tonight, you say, "Brother Scott, I just find that forgiveness just rolls off my tongue. I mean, people cut me deep, and I just find that, whoa, forgiveness, there it is." You know, most of us, I think, would have to say, you know what, sometimes it's hard to forgive. And some of these situations were very difficult. Well, what made forgiveness for these people difficult in these situations? I would say, number one, the level of hurt. The level of hurt. This hurt me to my core. I mean, this really bothered me, Brother Scott. When this person did this, boy, it affected my life in numerous ways. The level of hurt. You know, if you've ever experienced great hurt because of somebody else, whether they realized what they did and it was intentional or unintentional, you know, you occupy a place much like those in the Word of God. Countless examples of people who were cut deeply for a variety of reasons. These reasons sometimes prohibit us from offering forgiveness. Sometimes the level of hurt. We look at that and we say, you know what? If this person would not have hurt me as much as they would, boy, I would give them forgiveness. Boy, I would gladly offer that forgiveness. Some of these situations were difficult as well. The level of hurt. Number two, the response of the offender or the lack thereof. The response of the offender or the lack thereof. I mean, think about that. You know, sometimes people do say they're sorry. You know, that's when it's easier to forgive, right? I mean, when somebody comes and they say, you know, "Brother Scott," you know, Josiah comes and says, "Brother Scott, you know what, listen, I'm so sorry for calling you ugly. Okay, I am so sorry." You know, that's when it's easier to forgive. Because what has he done? He has realized his wrongdoing, right? He has said, wow, he is humbling himself. And so in response of that, it's easy to say, you know what, Josiah, I appreciate you coming to me, and I most definitely do forgive you. You know, listen, when that process takes place like that, boy, that's biblical. And that is a healthy sign in your relationships. Asking forgiveness. Forgiveness being offered in return. Sometimes people say they're sorry, but number two, sometimes people don't. Sometimes people don't say they're sorry. Well, what do you do then? What do we do in the process of forgiveness when someone does not realize they've done something wrong? Or they do not come to the point where they're asking forgiveness of you? The reality is there's sometimes people do say they're sorry, but there's sometimes people don't. Sometimes it's because they don't care, but sometimes it's because people don't know. Well, I ask you this question. Have you ever offended someone and not realized it? I have, especially if somebody's good at hiding it. Let's say for some reason, you know, Josiah stood up, said his thing, and I just stood here like, okay. And we went on. You know, with that response, what would that tell him? Sometimes we, well, I appreciate that. Yeah, I don't care, right? But sometimes we offend people, we don't even realize it. And yet, sometimes people say they're sorry, but sometimes people do not. And then sometimes people can't. The response of the offender or the lack thereof. You know, what made these things difficult? You know, if somebody leaves your life for any particular reason, okay, they're not at a place where they're going to come back and they're going to say they're sorry, obviously. And in some extreme situations, like that of the children who got mauled by bears, okay, they're not coming back to say they're sorry. They're out of the picture. And so what does that mean for all of us? Do we just hang in the balance of like, well, this person hurt me, and I just carry that to my grave, and you know what? They hurt me, and now they're gone out of my life. They've left, and they'll never say they're sorry. And so I will never forgive them. And what do we do in that situation? Some of those things happened in the Word of God. Well, again, we have to look back to the truth of Scripture. Sometimes the level of hurt causes us to not forgive. Sometimes the response of the person who hurt me, or the lack thereof, requires me or prohibits me from forgiving. And then the third thing here, the memory of what they've done. Well, has somebody ever hurt you so deeply that you just thought, Brother Scott, I cannot forgive and forget? I mean, I just wake up all the time. I think about this thing. I mean, it is on my mind. How am I ever going to be able to get to the point where I can forget this thing? I think we need to realize that forgiving someone is not so much about whether or not we can forget it. Okay, there are certain things that people carry with them their whole life because of the scars, whether they're on their mental scars or even some in the form of someone's hurt you physically. Sometimes that is a reality as well. And so, what do we do? What do we do in those situations? They happen certainly in the Bible. And we are talking about that here, the level of hurt, the response of the offender, or the lack thereof. Well, they didn't respond right. I don't think I'm going to forgive them. Notice the second main point. What must I let go of in order to forgive? Notice that. Number two, what must I let go of in order to forgive? Well, this is where we find ourselves back in Ephesians chapter 4. And so I want you to go ahead there, and I want you to see this. It actually takes place in the verse before the one we read, right? Be kind one to another, tenderhearted, forgiving one another, even as God for Christ's sake hath forgiven you. Well, what must I let go of in order to forgive? Look at verse 31. Notice what the Bible says. Let all bitterness and wrath and anger and clamor and evil speaking be put away from you with all malice. Well, there is a connection between what Paul is telling us here about what we need to let go of in order to make that reality of forgiveness in our lives. What must I let go of? Notice number one, we need to let go of our anger. You know, this is something that Jonah couldn't do. Jonah was furious at the Ninevites. He was furious at the way that they treated other people. They were notorious for being brutal. And that was a big stumbling point for Jonah. God said, listen, Jonah, I want you to go minister to these people. Jonah said, are you kidding me? Jonah, I mean, the Lord, I can't forgive them. So what did he do? He ran from God. God had to put him in a situation that he would never forget in order to put him in a situation that he could minister to these people. And yet, we're still asking the question at the end of the book, did Jonah ever really get rid of his anger? You know, if you're going to forgive someone, you've got to take that deep hurt and anger that is a reality in your heart, and you've got to be willing to offer it up to the Lord and say, Lord, I give you my anger. Lord, I'm going to set this aside. I'm going to lay it aside, as Paul said. Not only do we need to lay aside or let go of our anger, we need to let go of our bitterness. Number two, our bitterness. Naomi was a bitter person. Well, she went over to Moab. She goes there, and as she's there, she loses her husband. She loses her children, and all she has are these daughter-in-laws, and she goes back and to Bethlehem, Judah. And what does she say? As she enters that place, she says, "Call me Mara, I am bitter." What was she bitter about? She was bitter about the way the Lord had dealt with, in her mind, her family situation. Boy, she was eaten up with bitterness to the point where that defined her. Listen, and I don't want you to miss this. There are some people who are eaten up with bitterness because of unforgiveness that is eating them up internally. I know grown-ups right now, some specific people that are eaten up with bitterness. And let me tell you, they are miserable to be around because they will not let go. We have to lay aside the anger. We got to lay aside the bitterness. What else? We got to lay aside the pride, right? Number three, the pride. And fourth of all, let me give it to you quickly here. We need to lay aside the evil intent. He says here, laying aside all malice. That's the evil intent. You know, sometimes we want for people to get what's coming to them. Well, you hurt me, and I can't wait until you get hurt in return. Well, I'll tell you, this person did this to me. And you know what? One day, that's going to come back to get them. And I can't wait to see that to happen to them. Well, that's not a spiritual thought. And listen, that's not a step towards this place of forgiveness. What did Jesus say? He says, listen, forgive men their trespasses. What did Paul say? He said, forgiving one another. Listen, we've got to be at a place where we are able to forgive others, and we need to be at that place of letting go. I want you to see this. What must I let go of in order to forgive? Number three, the big points here. Number three, what helps me forgive? You say, Brother Scott, I realize tonight, and I've even been able to identify some hurt in my heart that has been caused by other people. And maybe they're still in your life, maybe they're not in your life anymore, but maybe you're able to say, you know what, at my core, I was bothered by this. And you know what, I still am in a place where I'm bothered by this. You know what, because I'm bothered by that, I see anger in my life. Boy, I see bitterness that has seeped into my heart and manipulates the way I process things. And I have pride, and I'm not willing to look in the mirror, and I have evil intent in regards to them, and tonight I need to let that go. But what helps me forgive? Ephesians 4 and verse 32, let's read it again. We've let go of the hate in our heart, and now we're going to focus on this, and be ye kind one to another, tender-hearted, not hard, but tender, forgiving one another, even as God for Christ's sake hath forgiven you. What helps me forgive? Number one, realize this is God's will for me today. What helps me forgive? Realize that this is God's will for you today. You know, sometimes what we think in regards to forgiveness when somebody's hurt me, you know, especially if somebody comes right away and says they're sorry, sometimes I feel like, okay, that's too soon, okay? It's too soon to forgive somebody. You ever felt that way? Like you just want them to kind of be wrapped up in it a little while longer. You just kind of put your arm out and like, I don't wish that now. We're not going to talk about it. You know, okay? You ever felt like that? It's too soon. Yeah, don't talk about somebody. We won't. Okay? You ever been there? Sometimes we feel like, no, wait, that you have not, you have not hurt long enough. Okay, I'm not offering forgiveness right now. Or maybe we don't say that, but maybe it's just kind of tucked away in the back of our mind, like, this needs to play out a little bit more. I'm not offering that forgiveness. Sometimes we think it's too soon until it becomes too late. You know, sometimes people ask for forgiveness, and we're so dug in, boy, that time goes on and time goes on, and then they move out of our life, and then they're gone, and then that opportunity that we once have to just say, you know what, I forgive you, has passed. You say, does that happen? Oh, that happens sometimes. We ought not let it happen to us. What helps me forgive? Realizing that this is God's will for me today. The best time to forgive is right now. Notice number two, realizing it's the only path that ends well. It's the only path. Forgiveness is the only path that ends well. Let me tell you that if you are at a place of unforgiveness, okay, and if you carry that and collect that to yourself over a lifetime, you will not like the outcome. You know, some people are so bent over with the load that they carry with them over collected offenses in their life that it literally affects their health. Well, you can do some reading on this, and it's scary. You know, that's why when we look at God's path, that's why the Lord is constantly pointing us to forgiveness. He's constantly telling us, hey, listen, this ought to be a reality now, but it is the best path for you. Don't forget, God created your body. Well, He created your intellect. He knows every aspect of your life, including the way that person hurts you. And His message to us is, listen, the best path that you can choose, it's not hanging on to that, but letting it go. Offering forgiveness. What helps me forgive? Realizing that this is God's will for me today. Number two, realizing it's the only path that ends well. And number three, realizing what a low-down, dirty, rotten, filthy sinner, not they are, but I am. Okay, I want you to take a second, fill in the blank, but I want you to let this seep in. And I don't mean this to be humorous tonight at all. Okay, because this is right where we live. You say, what helps me get in the right frame of mind in order to offer forgiveness to that person and what they did? What helps me do that? Would you read the end of verse 32? Put your eyes on it. What does the Bible say here? Be kind one to another, forgiving one another, even as God for Christ's sake hath forgiven you. What put Jesus on that cross? That was your sin. Jan, that was your sin. Josiah, that was your sin. Ethan, your sin. That was my sin. You think about this. Christ's resurrected body. When He arose from the grave, does He still bear the scars of that moment on the cross? Okay, if you know your Bible, He does. The handprints are there. The piercing of the side is there. Listen, my point tonight, and the point that Paul is making, is there may be some deep wounds in your life as the result of someone else. Wounds that you say, I don't know that I can forget. Can I tell you this tonight? That the Lord carries those wounds with Him, and yet He forgave us. The standard is not Brother Scott and how perfect I think I am and how I'm above other people, and if just more people could be like me and treat other people rightly, then the world would be a better place. The standard is not myself and who I think I am. The standard is Jesus Christ. And do I really tonight think that I can elevate myself above Him? Listen, you and I and our sin put Jesus on that cross. And what did He do? I forgive you. And I love you. That's the place that Paul wants us to be at tonight. You say, Brother Scott, the hurt runs deep. Why, it's on my mind. You have a Savior who's tempted in all parts, just like we are. And if He can forgive, we can forgive as well. What helps me forgive? Realizing this is God's will for me. Realizing it's the only path that ends well. Realizing what a low-down, dirty, rotten, filthy sinner I really am. And if the Lord Jesus can forgive, I can forgive as well. Let me give you this final point, and then we're done tonight. How do I know when I've forgiven someone? How do I know when I've forgiven someone? Well, if you look at Ephesians chapter 4 and verse 32, you'll notice here that this is a choice that's being presented to us. And I would just ask you this, is that have you made the choice to forgive that person, regardless of whether or not they have sought or will seek your forgiveness. Have you made that choice? Have you made the choice to forgive? And you say, well, Brother Scott, does it just mean it all goes away? No. The choice to forgive has a continuing effect that you will need to continue to keep each day that you live. I realize there's some memories that you just have to go to the Lord and say, Lord, would you just help me to forget this and this situation? My flesh wants to just hold it close to me. Every time I see this person, it comes to my mind. You know what? Sometimes you just have to renew that forgiveness every day that you live and give it to the Lord. Say, Lord, I forgave them, and I'm not taking that back to myself. Say, when do you know that you've forgiven? When you have purposely made that choice to forgive. Well, how else? How else? It's a choice. Well, you treat that person with Christ-like behavior. What does Paul say? Be kind. Well, how? Christ's the example. You know, when you know that you can go to that person who's offended you or be in close proximity to them and try to treat them with a kindness and a love that exudes from Christ himself, well, that's when you know you're on the path or walking the path of forgiveness. You've made the choice. You treat that person with Christ-like behavior. And then number three, you don't have to bring it up to others. You don't have to bring it up to others. Sometimes we like to share in the experience, and sometimes in unhealthy ways. You know, when you've forgiven someone, when you don't have to keep bringing this up or telling other people about it. Now, there may be times when you need to share an offense with someone else. I'm not talking about that. I'm not talking about someone who's hurt you and then you need to go talk to your parents because it's the right thing to do. I'm not talking about that. I'm talking about when we've taken the step to forgive, we've made that choice, and then we've also said, I'm not going to bring this up to other people because it's taken care of and they don't need to know. Let me give you some closing remarks. If someone has offended you in some way, don't wait for them to come to you. Go to them, make things right. Jesus said, forgive men their trespasses. Number two, if someone's offended you in some way, but it's impossible for whatever reason for you to go to them about it, make the choice to just forgive them in your heart. And then number three, if you're here tonight, you're in the position of being the offender. You've offended someone, whether it was intentional or unintentional. It's beside the point. You need to go and make that right. Listen, there may be some in this room this evening that need to cross an aisle and to get right with someone during an invitation time. There may be somebody who just needs to swallow their pride and say, you know what, I understand what the Lord Jesus told me about forgiving men their trespasses because this is the path to healthy relationships in my life, and I understand what Paul is saying, and I'm willing to have the courage to be proactive in this forgiveness process. Remember, Christ is the standard. He's forgiven you. Heads bowed and eyes closed this evening. Tonight we've looked at closely the truth about forgiveness. And we've covered it as a bird's eye message that went in different directions, but I hope that some of these points resonated with the situation that you are in right now. Maybe, again, you say, Brother Scott, I'm not at a place where I need to forgive someone. I'm in a place where someone needs to forgive me. And I would just ask you, have you done your due diligence in that process? And if you are in some way, shape, or form in the position tonight when someone's hurt you, again, whether unintentional or intentional, you may just need to choose to forgive. It's the best way. It's God's way. And not one of us have a corner on a perfect life tonight. Christ is the example. Let's choose forgiveness. Heavenly Father, I thank you for what you've done for us. Lord, there's not one of us in this room that's worthy of the forgiveness that you offered us when you died on the cross, Lord. We're unworthy of that. But Lord, we thank you for it. Lord, help us to not hold anyone hostage in an unforgiving way. Lord, help us to be forgiving. I pray that you'd work in our invitation time. In your name we pray. Amen. As the piano plays and heads are bowed and eyes are closed, if the Lord's spoken to your heart, maybe you need to come to the altar this evening and deal with something, I'm going to ask you to go ahead and move. If the Lord's worked in your heart, don't wait. Don't wait. Nobody else is looking around. This time is for you. This isn't for the adults. We're in here in the teen room. And when God is speaking, I encourage you to move. Maybe you need to go home and you need to talk to your parents about something that you've done to them, way that you have hurt them, and you know you have, words, actions. Seek out forgiveness. Don't hang on to bitterness or past offenses. Give it to the Lord. Choose to forgive. Heavenly Father, Lord, I thank you for your truth tonight, and Lord, just the influence of your word. I pray, God, that each one would heed it. Lord, we would live it tomorrow. Lord, someone will offend us. Something will happen, and we will need to give forgiveness. Lord, bring this back to memory as we live for you tomorrow. In your name we pray. Amen.